You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
LBC News.
Right, let's talk about the first day of the Democratic National Convention. It was being held virtually, so a lot less of the razzmatazz that we normally see. No balloon drops, no big screens, no cheering crowds. But there were A-listers, of course. Let's talk more about this now here on LBC News with our very own A-lister as we go live to Washington, our US correspondent Simon Marks. Afternoon, Simon.
Hello, Chris. I've been called worse.
We did have an A-lister in the form of Michelle Obama, of course, former First Lady. We also had a desperate housewife in the form of Eva Longoria. She opened the whole thing. There was a little bit of magic and sparkle, but not a lot of it.
There wasn't a lot. I mean, there was a bit, Chris. I have to say, I mean, it's probably my fault. I can't get used to it. I mean, having been here for nearly 30 years, every 4 years trekking to enormous arenas and seeing the delegates arriving and lapping up the atmosphere in the hall and waiting for the balloon drop on the last night of the convention. This is not really a convention that we're seeing. There's no wrangling behind the scenes. There's no tension. This is actually an extended party political broadcast in a country that, by the way, has never had party political broadcasts. There's never been this notion of setting television airtime aside and handing it over to political parties to provide information about their positions and their approaches to life. That's why you've got so much television advertising relating to politics here in the United States. So it feels very odd to see, as we saw last night, Eva Longoria in that role of what they're referring to as a moderator. It's not clear to me what she's moderating. She's really in a continuity announcing role and ending virtually every segment by assuring the person that she's just spoken to and the audience that she completely agrees with everything that they've said. So it is a very odd experience. And then there are moments that I think do galvanize the attention of viewers and have the potential, particularly in a digital internet era, to live on in a viral form. And here was one of them last night. It came from Kristen Urquiza. She is, as you will hear, the daughter of a COVID-19 casualty in the United States.
My dad, Mark Anthony Urquiza, should be here today, but he isn't. He had faith in Donald Trump. He voted for him, listened to him, believed him and his mouthpieces when they said that coronavirus was under control and going to disappear, that it was okay to end social distancing rules before it was safe, and that if you had no underlying health conditions, you'd probably be fine.
As she told her story, it was really the first moment where I think the audience sat upright and hung on the every word of a speaker. She went on to explain that her father had been so convinced by these arguments that COVID-19 was no great threat to him or to the American public that as soon as his state reopened, he went to a karaoke bar, contracted COVID-19, was admitted to the hospital, and after 3 days on a ventilator, passed away. And the sting in the tale from his daughter, Kristen Urquiza, was broadcast to the entire nation last night.
My dad was a healthy 65-year-old. His only pre-existing condition was trusting Donald Trump, and for that, he paid with his life. Enough is enough. Donald Trump may not have caused the coronavirus, but his dishonesty and his irresponsible actions made it so much worse.
And so that was really the theme of the night that you heard referred to again and again during a variety of speeches that were made, that Donald Trump is a president who is not capable of filling the role that he occupies, that he lacks empathy, that he lacks decency, that he fails to connect with members of the American public. There were, of course, other speakers who played a slightly different role in night one of the Democrats' convention, and they included Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, the old progressive socialist campaigner who gave Joe Biden a run for his money in the quest for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. 4 years ago, you will remember, at the Democrats' convention in 2016, Bernie Sanders marshaled his forces, and it was not apparent at all that they were going to get behind Hillary Clinton's candidacy for the presidency. We heard a very, very different message from Senator Sanders last night.
The future of our democracy is at stake. The future of our economy is at stake. The future of our planet is at stake. We must come together, defeat Donald Trump, and elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as our next president and vice president.
His message to his supporters was that they had done so much to raise the profile of the more left-wing issues that they care about, that as President Joe Biden would embrace some of their policy positions. I have to say, there was a disconnect between that argument and the claim advanced by a Republican who spoke last night, John Kasich, the former governor of Ohio, now backing Joe Biden over Donald Trump, who insisted to the convention that he was absolutely convinced that Joe Biden would not, in government, turn left. But the real sizzle of the night, of course, came from Michelle Obama.
So let me be as honest and clear as I possibly can. Donald Trump is the wrong president for our country. He has had more than enough time to prove that he can do the job, but he is clearly in over his head. He cannot meet this moment. He simply cannot be who we need him to be for us. It is what it is.
That phrase, "it is what it is," is an echo of something that President Donald Trump said just a few days ago about the COVID-19 death toll in the United States. He was pressed in a television interview about his approach to COVID-19 in that interview with Jonathan Swan of Axios. And at one point he said, you know, yeah, there's 160,000 people dead from COVID-19. It is what it is. Michelle Obama choosing that phrase very carefully and also urging Democrats in very large numbers to get out and vote for Joe Biden in order to make it clear to President Donald Trump that he's not going to be able to contest the outcome of this election. Here's more Michelle Obama.
If we want a chance to pursue any of these goals, any of these most basic requirements for a functioning society, we have to vote for Joe Biden in numbers that cannot be ignored. Because right now, folks who know they cannot win fair and square at the ballot box are doing everything they can to stop us from voting. We have got to vote like we did in 2008 and 2012. We've got to show up with the same level of passion and hope for Joe Biden. We've got to vote early, in person if we can. We've got to request our mail-in ballots right now, tonight, and send them back immediately, and follow up to make sure they're received, and then make sure our friends and families do the same. We have got to grab our comfortable shoes, put on our masks, pack a brown bag, dinner, and maybe breakfast too, because we've got to be willing to stand in line all night if we have to.
So no question that she was the highlight of night one. The reviews of her speech are in. They have, of course, utterly enthralled and thrilled Democrats. But President Trump at the White House a short while ago was asked what he thought of Michelle Obama's argument that he is in over his head.
Yeah, no, she was over her head. And frankly, she should have made the speech live, which she didn't do. She taped it. And it was not only taped, it was taped a long time ago because she had the wrong deaths. She didn't even mention the vice presidential candidate in the speech. And, you know, she gets these fawning reviews. If you gave a real review, it wouldn't be so fawning. I thought it was a very divisive speech, extremely divisive. And frankly, I wouldn't even be here if it weren't for Barack Obama. See, we're standing in the White House. I wouldn't be in the White House except for Barack Obama, because they did a bad job, Biden and Obama. And if they did a good job, I wouldn't be here. I'd be building buildings someplace and having a good time.
Almost an intimation there, Chris, that he's not having a particularly good time as president. Let's see how he reacts to night two of the convention right around the corner. The stars of the show tonight, Jill Biden, wife, of course, of Joe Biden, and former President Bill Clinton. I'm sure we're going to be hearing some reaction to his speech tomorrow from President Donald Trump.
Absolutely. And just briefly, how are the networks taking it? Because I know it's often a struggle to get them to take a few hours every night of these conventions. How are they finding it when it's not so showbiz?
Well, they've on the broadcast channels, they've reduced the thing to just 1 hour. So there's only an hour of the convention between 10 and 11 o'clock at night airing on the broadcast channels. That's ABC, CBS and NBC. The news channels are carrying most of it. Some of them are carrying it uninterrupted, which, again, is slightly problematic because it just feels like you're then airing a two-hour party political broadcast. Others are providing continuing commentary on what they hear from various people who make speeches and appearances. And then there's Fox News, which in large measure last night kind of reduced the convention to a tiny square. I mean, almost a microscopic square in the lower right-hand side of the screen, and would very occasionally dip into it with the primetime hosts dismissing what was being said. And certainly one of the primetime hosts had one of Donald Trump's sons on last night to insist that he's the greatest president in American history and only he could possibly have done everything that he's done. I think it's worth underscoring there is something very different about all of this, Chris. Normally, under normal circumstances, one party gives the other party sort of the oxygen of publicity for the week, knowing that they're then going to have the opportunity to get their chance in the Klieg lights the following week. This time round, Donald Trump is not stopping. He is absolutely out there relentlessly campaigning. He's going to a whole series of battleground states all week long. He's not suspending his campaign while the Democrats engage in their convention. Not for him. The trappings of political tradition here, as ever, he's rewriting the rule book.
All right, Simon, thank you very much for that update. No doubt more from Simon as the Democratic National Convention continues this week. As he says, we'll be hearing from former President Bill Clinton at the Democratic National Convention tonight. So stay with us for that here on LBC News. Simon Marks there, live from Washington.